But I think tonight that I just would like to give a little testimony of confession, perhaps. These have been rough days, and I want you to know that missionary sometimes has rough days. And if that missionary is like me, doesn't always take those days too well. And I want to thank you for your prayers. I know that during the last 5 weeks you've been praying for me. And I would like to say thank you for your prayers. God has been answering prayer. Not only for my wife, but also for me. The man who led me to Christ gave me two verses of Scripture. One that assured me of salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon the name of the Lord, and he did the saving. And then as he handed me a New Testament, he marked another verse in the Scripture, and he read it to me. It was Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I went out that evening as a 17-year-old, just turning 18, confident that God had saved me and he was going to do something. I was so confident of that that I began to seek for God's will. Finally, I came to a verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2:10. You all know what that verse of Scripture says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. And I thought, wow, isn't that beautiful? He's not only saved me, but he's got a plan for me. I have a twin brother. As you know, that's the proof that God has a sense of humor, that he'd make another one that looked like him. But I just knew that God had a plan for Don and God had a plan for me. And God also says in Ephesians 5:17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So I determined as a new convert that I was going to find out where God wanted me and what he wanted me to do. And it didn't happen overnight. I invested 50 cents in a world map and I put it up there in my room where I was studying the Bible every day. And I began to pray that the Lord would show me exactly where he wanted me in the world. It's a big world. At that time, there were 2 billion people on the face of the earth. Here's one of the changes that's taking place. In March 28, 1976, there were 4 billion. And in another 12 and a half years, there'll be 5 billion. So we have an increased job and an enormous job to accomplish. But I'll be telling you tomorrow night how I believe we can accomplish it in this generation. But looking at that 2 billion people, I said, Lord, where do you want me to minister? Now, I was aware that I was to be a witness right where I was, and I was having a lot of joy doing it, making all kinds of mistakes, but trying to tell everybody I met about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure I was a bit obnoxious at times, but, you know, God just takes care of us and lets us go on and make our mistakes, and from those mistakes he teaches us lessons. But as I prayed and sought God's will, the Lord began to narrow down the world, as far as I was concerned, to Asia. Now, that's not too bad, but at that time, that was still half the world's population, and there are a lot of countries in Asia, so where would I go to Asia? Now, I tried to help the Lord, because I was so poor in language that I basically flunked in Spanish, did feed the teacher enough apples so she gave me a low D, but I didn't think that would be any good to try to learn some of the difficult languages of India, or the difficult language of China, or Japan, or Korea. But in my study of geography, I learned that the third largest English-speaking country in the world was the Philippines. So I said, Lord, I am a volunteer for the Philippines. That's Asia. I'll go. But you know, the Lord doesn't allow us to serve him on our own terms. You did know that, didn't you? And so I didn't get away with that one. But he kept impressing upon my heart that he wanted me in China. That didn't make sense at all, because that's rather a difficult language, and it's a tonal language, and I'm one tone above being tone deaf. So, you know, I knew the Lord hadn't really studied this thing through well enough. So I would remind him very carefully. Now, Lord, remember how well I did in Spanish? And Lord, you know, have you ever heard me sing? And I wasn't about to accept that assignment. But the Lord began to remind me that whatever he told you to do as his servant, he would enable you to do. All you have to do is put your hand of inadequacy up into his hand of total adequacy, and it'll be accomplished. And as it related to the language, he gave me this reassuring word. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And it was so impressed upon my own soul, though he originally said it to Moses, I knew he was saying it to me, so I wrote China right in my Bible, right across that verse, knowing there would be times that I might be just a little discouraged, and I'd need that reassuring promise from the Word of God, because God's in the business of keeping promises. So there was the verse, and I went out to China. Now, when I got to China, the Lord really helped me in Chinese. I found Chinese easier than Spanish. Not really, but you see, he gave me motivation. He had given me a wonderful message that had saved me. And I knew if he could save me, he could save the Chinese. I knew that was a perfect message and I wanted to deliver it perfectly. So I had a motivation to get the language. And I would really dig hour after hour into the language. And then I'll go out and practice, make a fool of myself for a week, and come back in and try to redeem it by studying some more. And it was beautiful to watch the Spirit of God quicken my mind, sharpen my tongue, and enable me step after step after step. Now, my excitement about getting the language was that there were 44 million people in the province of Honan. And as a young American who had experienced the grace of God, I wanted to win all of Honan to Jesus Christ. Never thought that I might have a few limitations. After all, God was with me. And I had put my inadequate hand up into His adequate hand, and that was all I needed. Now, after language school, I got up into the province of Honan, and I found that there were a number of missionaries there, not really very many. In fact, in the county to which I was sent, there were no missionaries, except the missionary that I went to live with and his wife for 6 months, and then they left, leaving me as the only foreign missionary in a county. Now, in that county, there were 1.5 million people. I have no idea how many people you have in your lovely city here, but there were 1.5 million people in that one county, and I was the only missionary. Now, there were a few Christians, 14 men and some 30 women. But that didn't stop me. I was sure that the power of God was sufficient and that, you know, we would win the whole county in not too long a time. All we had to do is get out there and do it. I preached a few good sermons on missions to the Chinese converts that were there after my senior missionary left and he was allowing me to preach. By the way, I had to memorize most of my sermons, even at that time, because Chinese was so difficult, but I would memorize them. And my theme for about 3 months was missions, missions, missions. Because I was convinced that the way to reach that 1.5 million people would simply be to get them busy. And I was sure that if I told them God said they were to be busy, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, they would do it. Because they had experienced His saving grace, and they would come under conviction. The problem was there wasn't much conviction. So I thought, well, I will shame them into doing the job. Now, how do you shame them into doing it? Well, you get up early in the morning, and you have your own devotions, and then you have your flour and water, and you drink that, and then you get out with your big Bible and your hymn book, and you go village after village after village preaching. And of course, these people were farmers, and I couldn't escape their villages, so they couldn't escape seeing, the big-nosed foreigner out there preaching. And I thought that would shame them into preaching. But they were ashamed of my preaching. My language just wasn't that good, so they were the ones that hid whenever I came to their village. And nothing happened. Now, I was trying to preach faithfully the Christian life also. You know, not only salvation, but right on straight through. Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but Romans 6, 7, and 8 also. I became tremendously discouraged because of the lack of response among the Christians. Tremendously discouraged because I had not seen a single Buddhist or a Confucianist turn to Jesus Christ. I had watched them laugh at me as I spoke, talk about my big nose and my Geritol expression, call me foreign devil or whatever it might be. I'd gone through all of that, but the discouraging thing was to preach, 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 and no results. And here was the boy that was going out to China to win the whole province to Jesus Christ. Well, if not the province, at least the county. And I didn't see a soul saved. And I didn't see a Christian moving. And I have to confess to you that by the time I had been in China 3 years, my world collapsed. And I was ready to give up and quit. The gospel had been the power of God unto salvation to me, but it certainly wasn't the power of God anymore. And if I wasn't going to see people turning to Jesus Christ, why worry? Now, there were some inward things I have to confess to. And that is that I was, as far as my conduct was concerned, in front of the Chinese, it was fine. It's thought as far as my thought process was concerned, it was indeed sinful. I was preaching Romans 8 and I was living in Romans 7. And you can't do that very long before you realize you're hypocritical. And you can't keep preaching if you're hypocritical. This so discouraged me, plus the lack of fruit, that by the time I was there 3 years, I said, forget it. I'm going to quit. I'm going to throw in the towel. You know what that expression means? In a boxing match, you know, and your manager thinks you've had too much and you're standing on your feet dazed, and so he throws in the towel. So the other guy's not going to kill you. And I was ready to throw in the towel. The enemy was way too big for me. And though I felt I'd put my hand in God's hand, somehow God wasn't answering in the way I'd expected him to answer. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel in your Christian life? I really meant business. About that time, I learned that there was a conference for defeated missionaries 400 miles away. Now, most of my travel, if I was going to go to that conference, would be by bicycle. A short period of it would be by an old French train up in inland China. The French built the railroads out there in inland China. And I went to the superintendent and I said, I have borne not one bit of fruit since I've been here. And yet I understand the scripture says that we were chosen to bear fruit. And I am discouraged. I am discouraged about my failure to really live the victorious Christian life, though that's what I'm preaching. I know the formula. I can teach it, but I'm not living it. Therefore, I'm a hypocrite. And if God doesn't meet me afresh, I'm thrown in the towel. And he thought I was a bit lonely, perhaps, and suggested that I just stay with the superintendent and his wife for a few days before going back to my station. I said, no, I know it goes way deeper than that. It goes right down into my own life, my own soul. And it also goes into the lack of fruitfulness. And I have got to see God again. And I understand that 400 miles away, there's a conference for defeated missionaries. And I'm either going there, sir, or I'm going home. I wasn't belligerent. I was just determined. I had to see God. My world has fallen apart. Well, he said, you know, I don't blame superintendents for getting gray-haired and everything else. He said, well, I guess there's nothing I can do with you, fella. You just go ahead. And he gave me permission to go to the conference for defeated missionaries. Of course, there was nothing to prepare. I had no messages to give. And confession, that would come, you know, I didn't even have to prepare that. So I just got on my bicycle on the road a couple of hundred miles and then got on a train. And I remember when I got off the train and walked over to the compound, there were about 40 other missionaries there in the same boat that I was. I felt like I was covered with one of these sandwich boards. You know what that is? A great big sign on the front says, Dick Hillis, defeated missionary. So you sort of slip in sideways. The trouble is on the back, there's the same sign. Dick Hillis, still defeated. And the only comfort I guess I got from it was that everybody else there was the same way. Well, in the grace and goodness of God, though I saw God do all kinds of things in that conference with other people, he didn't do anything for me, and I was riding back. The first part of the section of the trip was on the train, and I was reading the scripture. And I came to this beautiful verse that I had memorized 5 or 6 years previous to this, right after my conversion. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? I knew that. But as I was sitting there quietly reading this on the train, the Spirit of God suddenly made me realize that instead of leaning upon my own adequacy and trusting in myself, I had to recognize that God lives in me. That's so simple. As you go out the streets of Wichita, you have God living in you. I wonder if they can see him. You see, everything I was doing was in my own energy. And that had led to such defeat that I was ready to throw in the towel. God lives in us. That's what missions is all about. Oh yes, Jesus Christ became incarnate 2,000 years ago, came to earth to live among men. But now he lives among men in you and in me. But it was that verse of scripture, and the teaching the Spirit of God gave me, that trip back, that enabled me to stay and be in missions for nearly 40 years. Oh, that's not the first time that happened. Maybe it was the first serious time it happened. It's not the last time it happened. Let me tell you now in confession how recently it happened when I wanted to throw in the towel again. Just 5 weeks ago today. The doctor told me that things looked so serious that I wouldn't have my wife with me too much longer. And I confess to you, when I went home that night from the hospital, the place was dark and cold and uncomfortable. Self-pity flooded my soul. You know the why? Why does it have to happen to me? All those things that Satan will throw at you. Then fear of the unknown. If this happens, then what? You know, those kind of questions you can't answer. And then Satan's accusing, hey, God's sure letting you down, isn't he? All of these kind of lies. And I once again went through that period when I said to myself, I guess it's time to throw in the towel. What had Jesus said? Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it when? How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. And here I was succumbing through self-pity and fear of the unknown, succumbing to Satan's lie. Dick, you better throw in the towel. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel? Is there anyone here tonight that pressures and problems are so upon you that you've wondered whether you should throw in the towel? I have news for you. You don't need to. And I want to urge you to pray for missionaries, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever felt that way. I am sure there are missionaries tonight in hard places that are just about ready to throw in the towel. Oh, that first one, you know, we might blame onto culture shock. That's a new phraseology we use today, culture shock. You know, you go out where they have a different language and different colored skin and different culture and different habits and all of this kind of thing. And your missionary comes up against culture shock. I don't believe that's the reason at all. I believe that the reason there's so many failures in those first years of missionary service is because the battle is against Satan. And the missionary doesn't have the upholding of churches and prayers and intercession on his behalf. And you know, the other night, 5 weeks ago tonight, when I was down so low I couldn't pray, on my knees, saying nothing, hearing Satan say, throw in the towel, throw in the towel, the telephone rang. I went over to the telephone and someone from North Carolina called and said, hey, we just heard by telephone that your wife is sick. We want you to know we're praying. I put the telephone down. I went into my study, turned to the Word. I just sat down and the telephone rang. And a telephone call from Southern California said, hey, we just heard about your wife. We're praying. And so it went on till 11:15. And suddenly, Instead of wanting to throw in the towel, I was saying to myself, Lord, show me reasons why I can't. Why I must never throw in the towel. And I come to you tonight with good news. None of us need to throw in the towel. God is victor. Don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let him lie to you. Don't listen to him. Listen, God loves you and God loves me. And for that reason, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I have to feel that true love is reciprocal, right? Now, you who are married know what I'm talking about. Your partner expresses love to you and you return that love. Not too long ago, I was watching my son play with his little girl, my little granddaughter. And it was beautiful watching him express his love to her. And then he put her down. And pretty soon she came over and she reciprocated. And that was so great. Just put her little arms around her daddy and said, Daddy, I love you. That's what we should do to God's love. We just reciprocate. He loves us so much, how could we ever even think of throwing in the towel? So when Satan tempts you, just say, no, the Father loves me. I'm not an orphan. And my love's going to reciprocate. We love him because he first loved us, the Apostle John tells us. And then, you know, as I think of how much he loves this world, I confess to you, my love is not sufficient for that. But how he loves the Muslim world with its 500 million unsaved. How he loves the communist world that now controls 1,300,000,000. But he loves them. One of the hardest things I ever did was to begin praying for Mao Zedong. Because I knew what it would be the day after, or the moment after he died. The awfulness of meeting his creator. And that God loved his eternal soul, which was lost. He loves the world of the Taoist, and the Shintoist, and the agnostic, and the educated and the uneducated and the working man and the businessman and the student world. He loves them. And because he loves them, you and I aren't going to throw in the towel, are we? We have the privilege of telling the world God loves them. And I trust that because we're at this missionary conference, we'll tell it with greater fervency, greater earnestness, greater love than we've ever told that story before. For God so loved the world. And that means he loved them. And I'm just not going to throw in the towel. And I don't think that any of us here can throw in the towel simply because in his grace and his kindness he chose us. I'll never know why he chose us. There's one verse of scripture that's rather comforting to me, and that is that not many wise, not many smart, not many brilliant, not many mighty are chosen. He said it chooses the ordinary things. And that's how I got in. But I'm so thankful he's chosen us. We didn't deserve it. He doesn't owe us anything. Then why should we throw in the towel? If God said, I love you enough to save you and choose you to be my ambassador, what can we do but say, thank you, Lord. I'll never forget that you chose me and that you chose me to bear fruit. And I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to keep right on going. Then I realized, too, that the commission he gave me, he hasn't taken away from me. When he said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you, or in like manner. Now, Christ, of course, came to provide salvation. And he's given us the privilege of proclaiming that salvation. That's what he means. We just tell what he's provided. In like manner, so send I you. What a privilege to be an ambassador of the court of heaven. A citizen of heaven left on earth to tell citizens of earth how they can become citizens in heaven. And just think that 5 weeks ago tonight, I was thinking of throwing in the towel. By the grace of God, I'll never throw in the towel. What about you? What a privilege God has given. And then, of course, I can't throw in the towel because I read in the Bible that his command is still there. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And while that command stands, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'll tell you why. The way I prove I love the Lord is by obedience to His command. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And He's given us that command first, that we as God's family should love one another. That's a command, by the way. And then in relationship to the world, that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, there are two or three ways to spell love. The world spells it, they're all four letters, L-U-S-T. That's not love. Love gives, lust takes, and that's what they're talking about. Oh, we spell it L-O-V-E. But there's another way. God says there's a way to spell it that begins with an O. O-B-E-Y. If you love me, you will obey me. You will keep my commandments. And you see, He's commanded us to carry the gospel. And each time we do it, in our praying, in our giving, in our witnessing at home, or our going abroad, we're saying to Him, Lord Jesus, I love you. I remember when I was a child, throwing my arms around my mother and telling her I loved her. I also remember when I was about, 10 years old, when I knew I was a grown man, and I was too big to kiss mother, you know. So I couldn't express my love that way, but you know, every once in a while I'd wash the dishes for her. Or I'd go out and get the wood, sometimes without even being asked. What was I doing? I was expressing my love. I was doing what I knew she wanted me to do. I didn't do it enough, but at least I did it. And when we obey Him and keep His commandments, we're expressing our love to Him. Then, you know, as I thought of how good He had been to me, and of a lost world around about me, I just knew I couldn't quit. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and then He told me to go out and do the same. And beloved, I believe that men and women are lost without Christ. Oh yes, I have a lot of people say to me, why don't you leave them alone? Particularly anthropologists go along this line. They have their own beautiful religions. Nay, there is nothing beautiful about their religions at all. Oh, they may have ornate temples, but religion is satanically inspired. Satan is the father of all religion. I don't preach religion. I preach salvation. We talk about comparative religions. I don't even like that term. There's no way you can compare my Christ with Buddha or Muhammad or any religious leader in the world. You can only contrast Him. He alone is the Son of God. We alone have the message. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen? Then we should be different. And because we have the only message, we can't quit. When Christ died, He died not only for our sins, He died for the sins of the whole world. And therefore we must tell a lost world how they can be saved. For we're the only ones that know. So, beloved, I'm not about to throw in the towel. Now, let me just say there's one other reason. Oh, maybe a dozen other reasons, but let me close. My other reason for not quitting is simply that the love of Christ pushes me on. I'm so glad. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit indwells me. Aren't you glad He indwells you? And that His love pushes us on. Remember the last time I was here, I told you about I told you about those two young lady missionaries traveling across China. And out in our part of China, we have big cesspools filled with human dung and maggots. The stench is unbelievable. And you learn in your area where those are. They're 8 to 10 feet deep, and of course they're kept there later for fertilizer, but they're just a moving mass of maggots and filth and bacteria and everything else. And these two young missionary ladies were hurrying for a walled city in an area that they were not accustomed to, right there in our province, but they were not accustomed to. Could. And she was just almost in hysterics when she was conscious, and then she'd go into unconsciousness. They were able to get her to a mission hospital. There she was for 5 long weeks, but something snapped. The mind never came back, and they shipped her home. A cesspool. Indescribable. I don't blame her at all. But you know, as I think of the love of Christ, the sinless, spotless Son of God, of his own free will, taking upon himself the form of a man, and then allowing God, the Father, to pour all the sins, the vileness of all the world, your heart and mine, and every generation, upon his sinless form, so that he went into hell where I deserve to go, that I might be clothed in all his glorious righteousness. How can I throw in the towel? Oh, what love. And I want tonight, when you go out of here and all the way home, before you get into bed tonight, to say, Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. And I want the world to know about you. And by your grace, I'll never throw in the towel. That's my message tonight. By God's grace, I'll never throw in the towel. Beloved, we're on the winning side. And with love like that, how can we ever stop? Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you're burdened tonight, more than you can bear, let me just say, the body of Christ wants to know about your burden so they can pray. I saw the body of Christ so respond and so love Margaret and so uphold me. And that's why I'm here tonight. We want to care and know and pray for your burden. If you're burdened tonight and have been tempted to throw in the towel, I beg you to just say, Jesus, I see your love now. And by your grace and with your strength, I'll never quit. I'll never quit.